And so now I want to welcome, how many of you weren't here last Sunday? Well, this person's going to be really kind to you because she is going to rewind. You know how we're good at rewind in youth, okay? So Jessie Smith, our very own, graduated, going to Great Hearts, is doing a 2-week series with us on the voice, hearing the voice of God. So put your hands together. Deafen her with the noise as Jessie comes forward.
Morning. Okay, that was lame. Good morning. That's much better. Thank you. Hey, everybody. So I was here last week talking about God's voice. And so for those of you who weren't here, I just want to say a few things. You know, when Mark was telling that story about how he gave money to Isaac and how that created a channel, the first thing that stood out to me was that God never gives us something for us just to keep. You know, God blessed Mark with financially so that Mark could actually bless someone else. And when God speaks to us, he doesn't do it just so that we can sit there feeling special. He does it so that we can use it for other people. And that's exactly what today was about learning how to use the gift of hearing God's voice to bless other people. So in church this morning, we were singing that song, Let Hope Arise. And the only person who can bring hope is who? God, because he never changes. So if we put our hope in something that changes, like a lot of people put their hope in the government at the end of 94, they're like, we're going to put our hope in the ANC, and then they let them down. And a lot of people put their hope in people, in relationships, and then they let them down. And the only thing that never changes is God. And so when we put our hope in him, then he always comes through for us, and he always stays the same. And the idea of hearing God's voice is that we can show other people who to put their hope in and who to trust in, and we can illuminate God to them. So I really want to just start off by saying that this is not something to just kind of listen in and forget about, okay? I can't force you to do it, and I don't want to, but I really want to encourage you that taking the risk of going on this journey will change the way that you see God and the way that you see yourself. So it's a really awesome thing to do, and don't be afraid of it. So, rewind quickly. What did we learn about last weekly rewind? Okay, prophecy is divinely inspired messages revealing God's will or nature. Any questions about that? We hear from God and we know what his will is like. We know what he's like. That's pretty much it. Okay, so faith is the key to moving in the gifts of the Spirit. And if we have to not only have faith in God, but we have to have faith in ourselves and our ability to hear from God and not question what we hear. So if we don't have faith, then it's going to be very difficult for us to hear from God. We have to trust that the thoughts coming to us are God's words and are God's thoughts. Growing in our revelation of who God is the best way to grow in our prophetic gift. So the thing is that gifts of the Spirit come with baptism in the Holy Spirit, and that's freely available to everybody. And everyone is able to be blessed with that. And if you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, then you can come and speak to Mark afterwards, and we'll happily do that for you. And God encourages everybody to be moving in the prophetic, which is just hearing God's voice and hearing God's messages, which is what we said. And if we want to grow in that, we want to hear more accurately, we want to hear more about what he's saying, then we just have to know about who he is. And the best way to know about who he is to read our Bibles, because that tells us all about him. It's funny that. So the aim of prophetic, when we prophesy, what we're trying to do is we're trying to strengthen the person that we prophesy or make them more able. We're trying to encourage the person that we're prophesying over, and we're trying to comfort them. So if we get a prophetic word that doesn't strengthen, encourage, or comfort, then we are either hearing inaccurately, or we need to change the way that we say the word. Okay, if I hear that someone is going to, I don't know, kill their brother, then I'm not going to tell them, you know, God is telling you to kill your brother. Because that's not really very strength. I mean, it's maybe enabling him to kill his brother, but that's not really what God wants him to do. So I would have to change that word. God wants to bring restoration to your relationship with your brother or whatever it is. Change it so that it reflects God's nature, reflects the love that he has, the strengthening, encouraging, and comforting kind of God that he is. And if we want to have accurate prophecy, then there's certain things that we need to have in place. So we need to be reading our Bibles regularly. We need to understand the cross. We need to understand that Jesus paid for everybody. There's no one who still has to be punished by God for their sin. There's always consequences to sin, but there's no one who is not deserving of God's love or God's presence. There's no one who cannot hear from God. Okay, so we need to understand what Jesus did on the cross. We need to walk in humility. So that's acknowledging that it's not me who's hearing from God and making me all special, and it's not me who's earning this, but it's God who's just giving it to me and just giving me this gift of the prophetic. And we need to be walking in faith, like I said. So are there any questions thus far? No? Awesome. The last thing from last week that he said is that we need to be tuned into God's voice. There's a lot of voices that speak to us, okay? We hear from ourselves. We hear from other people who speak to us. We hear the devil tempts us and tries to do things to us. And we need to tune out all the other voices and tune into God. And that just comes with practice. The way that we know that our words are accurate and aligned with God is that they don't contradict anything that Scripture has said. They don't... They strengthen, encourage, and comfort, and they reflect God's nature. Okay, so, right. Now, today what we are talking about, the first thing I want to talk about is the different parts of a prophetic word, okay? If I'm prophesying over you, I would say something like this. Hannah, I see an... Okay, wait, let me actually get a prophetic word so I can demonstrate. Hannah, I see that God is giving you a baton. Like in a relay race. Is that the right word? Yeah, thank you. And it's a gift that God has given you, I almost sense that God is saying that you haven't really noticed it yet, all the gifts that God has given you, the abilities he's given you. And you're kind of standing at the race thinking, how on earth am I going to do this? And God is saying, here you go. That's all you need, and you can do it. And what you take will be passed on to the next person. And so God is almost asking you to look to him and to find from him all the things that you need and all the gifts that you need. That's a shortened version of the word that I have for you. Okay, so that's a prophetic word. Now, what I did is I first told her what I saw or what I heard or what I felt, okay? And that is what we call revelation. The revelation that we get from God, the thing, the picture that we see, the feeling that we get inside, whatever we sense, and we always share that. I saw a picture of God giving you a baton, whatever, okay? Everybody got that? You all understand what revelation is? Then comes the interpretation, what we think it means. Hannah, I think it means that God is giving you gifts, that you need to run the race, whatever the interpretation is. So it could be, I felt feeling of peace, and I feel like God wants to give you peace about your marriage. I felt a feeling, and I gave what I thought it meant. Everybody understand? That's revelation and interpretation. Application is the way that the person applies it. And that is not the job of the person who's prophesying. So I've given Hannah my word. She can go home and say, okay, I'm going to pray and fast and whatever and find out what God is telling me or whatever she wants to do. But that's her application. I can't say to her, so Hannah, that's what God is saying to you. So you need to go home now and do 2 hours of reading your Bible and then fast for a week and then God will tell you what to do. Because the thing is that because we hear from God through our minds, it's very easy for us to mishear from him. And if I sense that God is using someone as a missionary and I tell them, okay, now you need to pack up your stuff and go to China. And then they go to China and it's a huge failure. And this has happened before because God wasn't calling them to go to China that month. Then that's because I applied the word for them. And because it's God speaking, now they feel they have to do it. Does that make sense? So application is not our job. We never tell people who they should marry, what kids they're going to have, you know, that kind of a thing. Unless an angel comes to you and says, you know, this person is going to go to China in a year, then it's okay to say it. But other than that, we don't do application. We also try and avoid giving very, very, very specific words because, like I said, we can often mishear from God. So we don't say to someone, tomorrow you're going to wear a blue shirt and gray jeans and you're going to look awesome. That may be a suggestion, but it's not necessarily a prophetic word, okay? Because we try to make sure that we're giving them what we hear from God and nothing more than that. And we can mishear wrong. Everybody got that? You all understand revelation, interpretation, application? Okay, picture, feeling, whatever is the revelation. The meaning of that is the interpretation. Application is what the person does with it. That's the job of them and whoever they pastors them or disciples them. So now there's also 4 kinds of prophetic gifting, okay? 4 kinds of ways that we generally hear messages from God. The first way is visual. A lot of time people see pictures, see angels, see open visions, visual. Second kind is auditory. People often hear song. People who use this gift more We'll hear songs, we'll hear words coming to them, hear the audible voice of God, that kind of thing. Tactile means that we feel things, so you have emotional feelings or you have feelings on your body. Both of those apply. So I feel, sometimes people will feel like a weight come on their shoulders if the person that they're prophesying over is feeling burdened, or people will feel a cramp in their leg if the person that they're prophesying over has got a cramp and God wants to heal them, that kind of thing. So that's tactile, feeling, and it also means that you feel things. Intuitive means that you just know something. So you're standing there asking God for a word, and it's suddenly like, this person has cancer. That's when you just know something. Or God just says, this person's going to be a lawyer. Something like that. These are just different ways that people generally hear from God, okay? A lot of the time, we don't only have one way that we hear from God, but you find that people get used to one. And there's nothing wrong with using more than one or all four of them. This is just something so that you know when you're hearing from God. If you know that you've got pictures before, then it's very likely that you can trust the visual words that you get from God. Does that make sense? So that's why we categorize it. It's nothing wrong if you... I've experienced three of those before. I've never experienced something auditory before. But I move more regularly in the tactile, but that's just me. Most people move more in the visual. It's just where different people work. So those are four different kinds of gifts, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that just now. But we often receive in lower or levels of revelation, but they're also higher levels of revelation. What that means is that when we get our revelation, a lot of the time it's pictures in our minds, words that we hear in our minds, or feelings that we feel inside. It's not something that's very, very obvious. Higher levels of revelation would be, I've got an open vision of heaven. That's a visual higher revelation. Or I'm hearing God's voice. Or I'm seeing an angel. Or I'm feeling someone pushing me. It's higher levels of revelation. Does that make sense for everybody? So we often move in lower levels of revelation, which means that we need to be more wary of what we hear and what we say. We need to confirm it. A lot of the time, I'm saying what I sense to someone, and it is confirmation for them of what they've already heard or what someone else has already prophesied over them. So we just need to make sure that we're saying something that's confirming what they've already heard. So if I'm sensing something and I'm not sure about it, then I'll tell it to the person and say, is that accurate? Does that sit well with you? Have you heard something like this before? And they'll say yes or no. There was this one time when this lady asked me to prophesy over her, and I was like, so I got a word and I said, do you have children? And she said, no. I was like, okay. Let me ask God again. And I had to ask God for a second word, and I got it right the second time. But the first time, I had misheard him, and I got it wrong. And that's okay. We just have to ask again. God doesn't be like, you heard me wrong. Never talking to you again. Okay? He's pretty chilled about it. So the high and lower levels of revelation, we just need to be careful about our lower levels of revelation. Lower levels of revelation are equally important as higher revelations. Because if I see an angel that's talking to me, it's more obvious what the angel is saying. It doesn't mean that the angel's words are more important than what God tells me in my mind. He's going to be saying the same sort of things because it's still God talking. So it doesn't mean that if we just get a word and like I've never seen an angel before, I've never had an open vision, I've only ever moved in lower levels of revelation, me personally. But that's okay, because 90% of the words that I give are accurate, and that's just because God talks to me in that way. And so I can trust my lower levels of revelation. I don't need an angel to know that God is talking to me. It would be nice, but I don't need it. So they're equally as important. So don't doubt the words that you get, okay? Have faith in that. We do have the chance of inaccuracy, so we need to be careful of that. And they also, a lot of the time, involve symbolism. Like, for example, I saw a picture of a baton with henna, okay? And that meant something symbolic. It was representing a gift that God was giving. It was representation of something that God was doing. A lot of the time, I see, like, trees or flowers for people, and that means a certain thing to me. See, symbolism is very interesting because it creates relationship between God and us when he gives us pictures that are actually symbols. Because I see a tree, and it means something to me. But it means something different to Rebecca, and it means something different to Kenan. And it's the symbolic language that God and I are using is something that is specific to me and God. So when he wants me to give a word to someone and he shows me a picture of a flower, then I know exactly what he's trying to say with that. Does that make sense? It's also very clever of God because he can show us one picture and it means a whole lot of things. So, but God is clever like that, which is cool. So a lot of the time our lower levels of revelation involve symbolism. So when you do get a picture or you feel something, whatever, just ask God what if it might be symbolic of something. Wait for what you think God is saying with it. That's the interpretation part of words. Okay, so we're going to do a quick activation now. So what I want you to do is I want you to all close your eyes. And I want you to imagine the room that we are in. Everybody sitting where they're sitting, with Mark at the back there, me at the front. Everybody can see the room? Yes? Thank you. And I want you to imagine that the door opens and in comes Jesus. He's walking. And I want you to watch and see what Jesus does in the room. Maybe he comes up to you and tells you something. Maybe he shows you something in the room. Maybe you just get a feeling inside. I just want you to wait upon what he's going to do. And you can open your eyes. If you're done, if you're still busy with God, then that's cool. Who saw God do something? Like you saw Jesus showing you something. I want you to see your hands high because I don't have x-ray vision. Awesome. Who heard Jesus telling them something? Awesome. Who felt something? That the overall thing that you got was a feeling. Great. And did anybody just know something when Jesus walked in the room? Okay, no one. So that's just one way that we can kind of get used to moving in the way that God talks to us, and one way that we can get used to. So most people are visual people, and I think that God just designed us like that. We use our eyes more than any other sensory organ, and that's just the way that we are, and it's okay. So what I want to do now is I would like CK to come up here, please. Come on up, CK. You all know CK? Isn't she beautiful? Aww, she is. So if you saw God doing something now, if you saw Jesus doing something, then I want you to ask Jesus for a picture for CK. And if you heard God telling you something, I want you to ask God to tell you something about CK. And I want you to ask God to give you a feeling about what CK should feel. Anybody got that? So we're going to do that now quickly. Okay, Lord Jesus, I just pray that you'd give us accurate words, God. Show us something for CK and give us the revelation and interpretation, Lord. Thank you.
So are you a passionate and devoted person? What God is telling me is that you should keep it that way and continue to grow in faith with him.
Awesome.
Okay, I got quite a random picture, and it's basically like if you're watching a sport and you want to know what's going on, there's someone behind the scenes that's like at the head of the switchboard, and they're telling which camera should be on airing on TV. And I think that God's telling me to tell you that you are behind the scenes a lot, but what you are doing is so important and amazing.
Awesome. Thanks, Caitlin. Mango. You were looking at me. Who else got something? Come on up.
I just got that you have this love for God that you just get excited when you think of God. And I really just feel he's saying that he wants you just to sit and let him embrace you. Like I got this, like he wants to give you this big hug almost. And he just wants to embrace you pretty much.
That's awesome. Who from the back got a word? These people at the back are just sitting on their hands here.
Okay, so there was this picture of like a big door. It's kind of weird. Anyway, so there was a door and there was a lot of stuff behind the door. And you were just walking through that door into this big, open, happy place. And there was just this feeling that I got that kind of said that there's a point where you're going to be leaving something, I don't know what, but leaving something behind. And you're going to go into something that makes you not a lot happier, but it just gives you peace. Something like
Awesome. How did those words make you feel, CK?
They're very spot on. It's actually scary. One of them, I don't remember which one, is, remember when you asked before if I felt something? Oh, yes, your word, where it's like, he gave me a hug. It was the same thing I got when I was sitting at the back. It was the same sense when Jesus came and he came and hugged me. So
that's awesome. So it's not that hard to move in the prophetic, hey? Cool. So, next point. Prophecy can be given to believers and non-believers. Anybody can be prophesied over. What? Because God wants to talk to everybody, okay? We're all his kids and he wants to talk to us. The only thing with that is that we have to avoid Christianese. So Christianese is a language invented by Christians. Shock horror. And it basically is when we use language that non-believers don't really understand. Like we can, you know, we say in church that you're covered in Jesus' blood. If you tell that to someone who doesn't know anything about the church, they think that's really gross. And if you say that the church is the body of Christ, okay, and you talk about the body of Christ, people think you bring out a skeleton, you know, and doing funny things. So we've got to be very careful about the words we use. We often ask the Holy Spirit to convict us. Now, to them, that means that you want us to become a convict. You know, like it's very different understandings. So when we speak, prophesy over non-believers, we just have to be very careful about the words we use. Language that is very, I don't want to say simple, but language that can be understood by people who aren't in the church as well. So when you're giving it to them, if you see like this kind of look on their face, then you know that you're using some Christianese. Awesome. So everybody got that? You can prophesy over anybody. Next thing, that when we deliver a word, we first share our revelation and interpretation. Okay, we never just give the interpretation of the word, and I'll tell you why. Often the revelation that we get has a deeper meaning to that person than what we know. So it could be that I see a picture of a ballet dancer and I'm busy telling this person about it and she used to do ballet 10 years ago and she quit because she got an injury or something. And that means something to her more than what I could have known. So we give the revelation and the interpretation because that picture could have told her something beyond what my interpretation was. It could also be that I got the right revelation but I interpreted it incorrectly. So if I give them the revelation as well, then they can interpret that for themselves and work out what God is saying. You all got that? So you give your picture or your feeling or whatever as well as the interpretation. You also, when you deliver a word, don't be dramatic, okay? You don't need to start shouting or shaking or doing anything funny. You don't need to add anything to what you got. You just tell them what God told you and you'll be fine, okay? You don't have to be like, you know, God wants to embrace you, so you have to go and embrace the person. Feel Jesus' love, okay? You don't have to be all dramatic like that. You can just be chilled. So, yeah, that's avoid dramatics. And the other thing is avoid applying the word. Sometimes we don't realize that we're applying the word, okay? So we need to be very careful that we don't do it. Don't tell people, so go home and read this, and God will tell you this. We can give them scriptures that we think apply to the situation, but we mustn't tell them that God will tell them something from it, because we don't actually know. Okay, so we shouldn't apply words ever. We should really avoid that. Everybody got that? So when you deliver a word, share your revelation and your interpretation. Do not be dramatic. You can do that at school. And avoid the application. Okay. So now there's a different kinds of prophecy that we get and different things that we should know. So the first thing is that you get foretelling and forthtelling. Okay. Foretelling is the kind of prophecy that we often know about, which is when God is giving us, he's telling us something about a future event. That's what foretelling is. So for example, in Acts 11, verse 28, it talks about a guy named Agabus who foretold that there was going to be a drought in the land. Okay, that's foretelling. It's a kind of prophecy. I'm sure you've all heard of it before. Foretelling that revival will happen in a place or that someone will have success in a certain area. Those are foretelling. The other kind is forthtelling, and that is when we see what God wants to do or we see the situation and we speak something forth by prophesying it. So prophecy, because it's talking about the future, when we speak it, we can actually prophesy something into existence in the future. Does that make sense? So foretelling, if I can see that Caitlin is depressed, not that she is, but I'm just saying, if, for example, she was depressed and I could see that God wanted to give her hope, then I could speak that over her in my prophetic word. And I could say, Caitlin, God just wants to give you hope. He wants to draw hope out of you. He wants to surround you with his love. Ooh, these people at the back are sleeping. I don't like sleeping. sleep at home. That kind of thing. So we can speak it forth over someone. Does that make sense? So when we are prophesying, we don't have to distinguish between foretelling and forthtelling, but it's useful to know what kinds there are so that we don't think that we're getting something wrong if we're speaking something forth. And we can say, I speak over you if we're sensing that we're going to speak something forth so that we can almost make it happen in the spiritual world. Yes, sit up, be awake. Thank you. Okay, everybody understand that? Yes? Thank you. This side is very clever. They understand everything. How about this side? Okay, thank you. When we look in our Bibles and we read them, which I hope you all do, we see that there's quite a big difference between the Old Testament prophecy and the way that we prophesy now. So I'm just going to give you a very quick explanation of why that is. In the Old Testament, people sinned, Adam and Eve sinned, sin created a barrier between them and God. They couldn't get to God and couldn't relate to God. So God, because he wanted so badly to dwell with his people, he needed to make a way for his people to be holy so that God, who is holy, could dwell with him. So he set up the law through Moses, okay, so that if people lived up to the law, then they would be holy. And because people continuously failed in living up to the law, the consequences for that was always punishment. The consequence for sin is death, okay? So there was always had to be punishment that God had to bring because of his just nature. Everybody got that? Because he's just, he had to bring punishment for when there was wrong. So he used other nations and that kind of a thing to bring punishment. And at the time, because God related to people through the law, prophets were always prophesying about God's punishment that was being brought for their sin. Because the sin was always there. They weren't able ever to live holy. So there was constant punishment that had to be brought. So the prophets were constantly saying, God is going to punish you. Repent. Go back to him. Live holy. And if we look carefully at our Old Testament prophetic books, we can see the nature of God that is revealed to them. I love you. You are my bride. You are my daughter. Come back to me, Israel. Come back to me. Why are you turning away? I'm going to have to punish you. So we see that the punishment is there, but so is the nature of God, the Father, the loving God that we know. Then Jesus fulfilled the law, okay? He lived up to the law, and he made the sacrifice to pay for all of us. So we no longer relate to God through the law. Instead, because of Jesus, God's Spirit is shed abroad across all men, and we live in relationship with God. So that means that no longer are we prophesying about punishment that needs to be paid for sin, because that's already been done. Instead, we can do the rest of it, which is prophesying grace, prophesying the grace that God has over people, okay, the way that he loves people, the way that he wants to bless people, all the things that he was trying to do while the Israelites were sinning. Everybody understand that? So that's the difference between Old Testament and New Testament prophecy. So we read about Old Testament prophecy, but we don't prophesy like that because God's system, the way that he relates to us, has changed. And we don't prophesy punishment over people, and we don't prophesy death over people, because that's not very strengthening or encouraging or comforting. And that is what New Testament prophecy is. 1 Corinthians 14, go and read it. It'll tell you all about New Testament prophecy. Any confusion, questions thus far? Awesome. Okay. Scripture is very important when we prophesy, because Scripture is God's word. So when we want to be telling God's word or communicating God's word, we need to know what it's like, and we need to know what the kind of things that he says, and we need to understand the first words that he told us, which is Scripture. So we need to be reading our Bibles, because our prophetic words cannot contradict Scripture. If they do, they are not prophetic words. So if you're telling someone that they need to be punished for their sin, then that is contradicting Scripture, and I hope that that person will reject your prophecy, okay? Because it's not scriptural to say that. So if we don't know what's scriptural, then it's very likely that our prophetic words might contradict it. So we need to be knowing our Bibles, knowing the principles that God presents in there, so that we don't contradict Scripture. You can be very well-intentioned, but still contradict Scripture if you never read your Bible and you want to prophesy. So you should really, 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 if that is the most important thing that you get from today, be reading your Bible. It's also the only way to grow in your relationship with God. So if you want to be living a life that is full of freedom, joy, peace, love, happiness, etc., you need to be reading your Bible. You need to be knowing what God is like. It's the number one way that people can see spiritual growth. Anyway, okay, so Scripture is important. Now, often our prophetic words give specificity that Scripture doesn't. So Scripture talks about how God wants to redeem people and he wants to give people freedom. We may get a prophetic sense that God wants to specifically give someone freedom from an addiction to cocaine. or something like that. So that's just a specific part that our prophetic words give, but it doesn't contradict Scripture. Anybody get that? So we don't have to speak exactly what is in Scripture, but because we can be more specific to what is happening now, what is the person is going through, but we still shouldn't contradict Scripture. And Scripture also brings confirmation to the words that we give. So whatever words we should give, we should have Scriptures that we're thinking of that God is also saying over that person or speaking to that person about. If that person is saying, but God has told me something different in my quiet time not so long ago, then that is something for the person to go and read about and pray about. And I'll talk to you just now about what they can do with that. Does everybody understand that? Thank you. Okay, then the next thing I want to say is that there's a difference between being a prophet and having a prophetic gifting. You all know Pastor Carol, and downstairs, she is pretty much the fivefold prophet of our church. She leads the church with the prophetic gift. Okay, that's what a prophet does. I am not a prophet, but I use the prophetic gift to minister to people. So I have a prophetic gifting, but I'm not a prophet. It takes, you know, a very famous prophet, Graham Cook, once said that it takes about 30 years to make a prophet. Okay, 30 years of ministering prophetically. If someone walks around calling themselves a prophet and no one really thinks that they're a prophet, then they're probably not a prophet, okay? A prophet is not something that you choose to do, it's something that God calls you to do. And prophets use the prophetic gift accurately to train up other people in the prophetic, to direct the church, direct sectors of society such as government or education or whatever with the gift of the prophetic. Does everybody get that? So please don't go around calling yourselves a prophet, because you're not. You may be one day, you may be a prophet in the making, but you're not one yet. So don't worry about putting a title on yourself or making yourself more important by it. Just move in the gift and God will use you. Simple as that. Cool? Awesome. Okay, so another activation. I want you to get into groups of four. Get into groups of four. Just turn around to the three nearest people. Very simple. Okay, quickly, because it's like 5 to 10. It can be 5 of you, but it's better if it's 4. Okay, in your groups of 4 or 5 or however many there are, I want you to number yourselves. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You've numbered yourselves. Awesome. Right, so what's going to happen is... Okay, wait. In your groups of 4, I want you to be quiet. Okay, it's 5 to 10, so... I very quickly want to say my last 2 points, and then we're going to do the activation. Cool? So just stay in your little group. Okay, cool. So prophetic words create identity. When we speak something over someone, then we tell them about who they are, okay? We tell them that you are free, you are chosen, you are royal, whatever. And that creates identity. But the person chooses to live by it. Like we said, you choose the application of your word. So when you receive a prophetic word, you can choose to live by the nature that it is given, that is given to you in that. Awesome. Next thing, prophetic words can be accepted or rejected. So that's, like I was saying earlier, if you get a prophetic word where the revelation you understand, but the interpretation you think is way off, then you can choose to reject that. It's the responsibility not only of the person ministering, but also of the person receiving, whether the word is accepted or rejected. Everybody got that? So don't feel responsible when you say a word to someone to make it happen in their life. It's not your job, okay? Application's not involving you. So you just give the word and you trust that they do it. Okay, awesome. So in your group, you've all numbered yourself. So what's going to happen is number one is going to go first, and all they're going to do is sit. Number 2 and 3 and 4 and 5, or however many there are of you, are going to ask God for words. Number 2 is going to give their revelation. Number 3, 4, and 5 are going to give what they think the interpretation of that revelation is. Everybody understand? So number 2 is only going to share the picture that they got, the feeling that they got, the words that they heard, whatever. Then number 3 is going to say, okay, well, from the sense that I got, what are you saying through that picture, God? You Okay, guys, because of time, I can't really let you continue, unfortunately. Oh, I know. I had another activation that I wanted to do with you, which I just don't have time to do. But if you guys want to keep prophesying to each other afterwards, please do. But let me just quickly tell you about the other activation, because I really encourage you. This is something awesome to do at home or whatever. You can ask God to give you a picture of someone who you're going to meet, okay? And it could be that you guys, have you heard of treasure hunting? Because that's exactly what I'm talking about, okay? So you ask God to give you a color, and that'll be what they're wearing. Or you ask God to give you a characteristic about them, and maybe you see a backpack, and you think they're wearing a backpack. And what you do is you write down all the things that you get. Maybe you see yellow jeans, and you write down yellow jeans, okay? And then you must prophesy over them that they need to dress well. No, I'm kidding. But whatever you get, you write it down, and then you go out and you look for that person. And then you find someone who matches up more or less to what you got, and you show them your word, and you say, look, God showed me that he wanted to speak to you. Most of the time, they're like, oh, that's me, and God wants to speak to me about that. And it's a really, really awesome and amazing thing to do. So I'd really encourage you guys to do treasure hunts, okay, where you write down whatever you think God is saying, and you do that. But the point is that you guys walk away from this hearing God's voice, and going out and whatever you do, asking God to give you a word for something. And you guys heard from God today, okay? I heard you guys saying it, and I saw that you guys were experiencing him. So don't lose that, you know? Don't forget about this, and then 10 years later, you have to like, oh my word, how do you do that again? You just take time every day to hear from God, and you'd be amazed at the way that it grows your relationship with him, the things that he tells you, the way that it encourages you, strengthens you. So don't lose this. Come back next week, watch the movie, and afterwards prophesy over each other. Awesome. Thanks, Mark.